It is a eureka moment every time because I don't want to let go of that opportunity, the idea. I think ideas are no one's property.
We made the most out of a really plain white box. I think you can make anything yours.
And it just gets into your body and it makes you very happy, but it's more than happy. It makes you feel that despite all the nonsense that's happening all around us, life is worthwhile.
I'm Momtaz. I'm a colour therapist, colour theorist, and author. And on this podcast, I'm giving you a bright escape from a grey world. I recently heard a theory that the number one way to live your best, most satisfying life is to be in awe of something every day. Because when you witness something that makes you feel in awe, it gives you hope, energy, excitement, joy, a reason to love life and keep going. It really resonated with me because I know I often feel this way. It doesn't even take much to make me feel in awe. But there's a common thread. Colour. Colour never fails to affect me. And that's why I became a colour therapist, because colour is such a powerful medium. It generally affects how I feel every single moment of every day. And I really wanted to share that with others so that they could feel it and understand it themselves too. When I started this podcast back in 2021, I started by making short bite-sized episodes about individual colours. Then later on, I started having guests to talk about different aspects of colour that I couldn't really speak about, like Sassy Wyatt, who came on to talk about her relationship with colour, and she's blind. But yet, it really taught me that there are so many ways we can think about colour. And actually, there's so much to learn all the time. But that view of being in awe, being so essential to life, has really stuck with me. I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I decided to create a new season of the podcast, Season 4, which focuses on this idea of colour and awe from the point of people who genuinely make me feel in awe of them. Episode 1 took me to Delhi in India, to the home of the city's most colourful artist and designer, someone I've long admired from afar. A maximalist through and through, Param Sahib Singh is a force of creative nature who celebrates DIY style as a fearless form of self-expression. I'm in awe anytime he posts anything on his Instagram. It's just so imaginative. He is such a visionary, but then he's also really generous because he breaks down how he does all his creations so that other people can see how it's done too. My visit to Param's colourful den started with him showing me around his apartment, and then we sat down to chat over a chai. I highly recommend you go and grab your own mug of it and then come back and join us. Hello.
Hey, Momtaz, how are you? Welcome to my home. Please come.
Oh my goodness. Look, I've gone straight into this incredible shrine of yours. What is this?
This is my, like, I would say centerpiece, where I just want, like, I do a lot of color flowers here and make it like a very nice smelling area, because the moment you enter, you just see this. So I want it to be like a grand thing. So it has a lot of elements from wherever I picked up from my travels. Mm-hmm. I love the Kathakali mask. It has the unicorns. Then I did the DIY wings to it. Then I love these dancing dolls, which are the Tanjo dolls.
You share so many DIYs and I get to see the DIYs. And I believe there's actually and a room.
This is my drawing room. It's a bit messy because, again, it's a creative mess, actually.
Surrounded by things you've
made.
My
canvas is here. I love painting animals. Then there are like these chairs, if you have seen these lion chairs. When I moved into this house, I got these chairs because I was so clear that I want animals to be around.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you were such an animal fan, actually.
I'm quite an animal freak, yes.
That's incredible. Have you ever had any pets?
No. Then there's this wall I did, which is like an acrylic laser cut wall.
Yeah.
I wanted to give like a bit of a texture to it.
So the wall Parham has just mentioned is the wall in his living room. It's bright orange and he's covered it in mini heart-shaped mirrors which are stuck all over it. In front of the wall is his cushion-filled sofa where we sat down for our chat. You can see what it looks like by heading to my Instagram account at MomTazBH where I'm sharing clips of our chat. I thought about it for months whether I would put this whole video out. But then I decided that I'm keeping Hello Colour as an audio podcast, but I'm going to be sharing video clips of my guests on social media. So I really recommend you head over and check it out because hearing Parham speak is amazing. But when you see him and see his backdrops and what he's made, honestly, it is utterly amazing. So I'm going to include links in the show notes so you can find them really easily about his account and my account. But for now, let's get on with the chat. Season 4 of my podcast, I am focusing on people that just make me feel in awe. By that, I mean like their lifestyle, their approach to color, their approach to life, their approach to creativity. Knows no bounds.
Yeah.
It's just... which is why I wanted to speak to you because you represent all of those things. Maybe a nice starting point might actually be like when you think of that word or like when do you think was the last time you maybe felt in awe? Like what brings you that kind of amazement?
On a daily basis, I don't know where the process is taking me. And when I see something great in terms of like my DIYs mostly and DIYs I mostly talk about like I would be specific, like accessories, like bags and jewelry and like headgears.
Mm-hmm.
So I think something like that when comes out great and I'm like in awe of myself, like it's quite a narcissistic feature, but still, and I'm like, wow, Parham, wow, yes. This was something good. And also like with my life back in the day, during my time, we had no social media. Like social media is what, like 10 years back now. So if I see something new in terms of like a person owning up themselves and being like completely fabulous, that really leaves me in awe that, you know, somebody is owning up at that age in their life and in that such great ease and comfort. So for me, that is quite an awe statement.
So we are here in your home in Delhi. Tell me, has this always been your home or what's your kind of connection to the city?
I've been in Delhi. I was born and raised here, but I think we have moved a couple of places in Delhi. We've moved to like 2-3 places and finally we stayed here like 20 years now. But I just moved into this apartment a year back and then I sort of like did the apartment all by myself because I always had this dream of having my own space. And honestly, this space just looks so cluttered. And every time my friends have come, they've told me like, this is just how your mind looks. Like, it's cluttered, it's messy, but it's so crazy. Like, you can't pinpoint and stare at only one thing. Your eyes are going around everywhere. So it's clearly like inside your mind. You're staying inside your mind. And I feel that's great. I mean, at some point, it does make sense. Like, home does reflect your personality. And it should. So I wanted it to be all maximal, all colorful, all made of things that I've made and just the way I want it. And everyone who enters, they just know that they're in my den.
You're listening to Hello Color, the podcast that gives you a bright escape from a gray world. And honestly, there is nothing gray about my guest Parham Sahib Singh's world. Remember, this is someone whose videos and content I constantly consume on Instagram, but I'd never met him before until we sat down for the interview. And I genuinely felt in awe of just being in his presence. I felt extremely grateful to have a conversation with someone I admire so much and to witness how his home is such a true expression of him. Homes are such private spaces. Whether you rent or own one, where you base yourself
has to feel like you. It's got to be somewhere where you feel happy and comfortable. And being able to step inside someone's home is such a privilege, especially when they celebrate their space so much. It's literally filled with all of Purim's homemade crafts. He's got clothes his customized hanging up. The creations are everywhere, and it's just so special to see. I think it's something that all of us can reflect on. How much does your home truly represent the real you? And is that something you'd like to explore more? Coming up, Purim shares how he got into design and found his voice, inspired by his Punjabi heritage.
You're a designer by trade. I think I first discovered you, it was actually through some of your wedding wear, but not classic wedding wear. We're talking about wedding wear that's really quite unconventional.
Yes.
And obviously people know you now for your kind of DIY crafts that you share on Instagram as well. But how would you describe the work, the creative body of work that you do and that you have?
I think as a person, I feel I'm a creator. So the canvases keeps changing. My love for clothes is going to be like forever. So I started with my brand and I still want to continue to be known as a brand, like a fashion designer rather than a creator. But of course, I feel like I want to expand my canvas. So apart from clothes, I've gone to accessories, shoes, then jewelry, then done like nightwear and done like installations and gone and painted cars and done murals, walls. And now I expand this whole creative energy into my DIY series, which is also all about crafts and involving textiles and working with and exploring Indian crafts, which I also did not know. I think the one good thing that came out of being a creator and having like this, having done this for a year now aggressively, is the amount of homework I had to do, you know, like learn so many things about my own country and crafts. And like small states are having their own distinctive crafts, and me wanting to explore and then replicate them in my way, it sort of was a different learning. And I felt like we are so living under a rock that we don't know these gems which exist in our own country and which have been traditions for years. So for me as a creator, while doing these things and exploring crafts, really gave me like an insight and an opportunity to actually sit down and do it. Because in our daily life, we get so involved, we would never take time out to learn, you know, okay, one day I'll learn piano. You never learn piano until you want to learn it, you take time out of it. So I'm on this journey. I feel like it's great. And learning is forever. It never ends.
Absolutely. I love that. I remember actually I did work experience when I was 15 somewhere. And so just at school, we have to do work experience. And I remember on the last day they said to me, if you got your dream job, is this where things would end? Or would you still want to keep learning? At the time, I said, no, I've got my dream job. I don't need to do more learning. And they were like, no, you actually still need to keep learning. And I remember that from that, because I was so shocked by that. But then later in life, I've realized actually we are always learning.
Always evolving. Oh, okay, you get what you wanted, you wanted, you wanted. Okay, now once you've had it, you've had it. And what? You'll just sit with it and just be happy all the time. I've got it. You have to take it to the next level. Yeah. What is the next step is what actually explains the whole process of evolving as humans.
Such a powerful statement. I found it so inspiring hearing Purim's approach to evolving himself and his work. And that example I gave where I was doing work experience is actually when I was 15 doing work experience at the BBC. But that advice is something I've never forgotten. In fact, it's probably some of the most important advice anyone has ever given me in my entire life. Learning and trying new things is undoubtedly a great way to access awe. Seeing how things are done, trying to do them yourself, and having new experiences is at the very root of living a satisfying life. Just take a moment to reflect on the last thing that you learned. Was it a skill, a tip, some wisdom? And then just sit and appreciate it. Because it's so easy to take all moments for granted, but they need their moment in the spotlight.
Did you actually like do formal study in this field? Like what's your kind of background in this
world? I did study fashion from NIFT Bangalore. I went to National Institute of Fashion Technology in Bangalore. I did my graduation there. But after that, you know, like college only teaches you within the books and all that. They can only push you to a limit. They can only open your boundaries to a point. But the real learning happens when you work in the industry, work with brands, work with people. So that happened for me quickly. During the college, I was doing like ad films and making costumes for ad films, South Indian ad films. Mm. I did two movies. I did like some 7-8 ad films. So I was doing their songs and things like that, making costumes and making a little money out of it. So I felt like, okay, yes, this is finally my calling and this is what I want to do. Then from Bangalore, I finished the college. I moved to Bombay for my first job. That really like opened up all the doors for me. I realized that like this is a completely different world, and when you work hands-on with the people there, with the karigars, with the brands, with the clients on a daily basis, working with a small startup where from the smallest of things of arranging buttons to the threads and then making sure that the client fittings are done, the pieces are dropped to them just right before their wedding dates. Yeah. So I think you have to understand the whole range of it. That really gave me the knowledge. Then I moved to Delhi. Then I started working as multiple things, as a stylist, as an illustrator, as a model, like as a budding influencer. But at that point, I think I wasn't, or the people were not ready to have like a Sikh model who's gay at the end of the day, and then represent brands wanting to represent, have that image. So that journey also I've had. Today, I feel like, oh my God, like the opportunities are endless. Like you just have to find your calling.
Your public persona is very much this very iconic, very flamboyant. I mean, your bio, it's not even a maximalist, it's the maximalist.
Yeah, I'm thinking to drop the, just say maximalist.
No,
it's like
something
the
about
Facebook,
me.
Facebook.
No, because it really feels like you are like the one who is actually owning that, like owning the space. And I love to see that because it's a real confidence.
Okay, so just to clarify, Parham did go ahead after we recorded the episode and change his social media bio from The Maximalist to Maximalist. Now, I get the Facebook comment he made, but I still prefer him as The Maximalist. Purely because there's actually a lot of maximalists around. In fact, I'm going to be featuring some other maximalists on this podcast season. But he definitely has his own identity that sets him apart. I digress. Let's continue.
When I was just leaving the airport, I arrived in Delhi. I looked out of the window and I saw a pillar. Yeah. I don't know where this quote came from, but on the pillar it said, "Creation is a sign of life, not repetition, and not imitation. Creation is a sign of life." I love this idea of creativity, like as a sign of life. Yeah. I guess some people often say, like, what's the difference between humans and animals?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're both like breeding, we're eating, we're sleeping, we're finding homes. But I guess animals aren't necessarily creative for creativity's sake.
Yeah.
So creativity is a sign of life. I mean, how do you feel connected to that sentence? Would you say you agree? Or?
I would feel alive if I'm able to create. Otherwise, I'll be just like a dead stock, you know. If I don't, you know, I get agitated on a normal basis because I feel like I'm a perfectionist and I know that it will take me 10 steps, 15 steps to reach there, but it's going to happen. Mm. And that on the 16th step is going to make me feel alive that yes, that that fire of an artist or that hunger of an artist is still alive in me. And that, I think, automatically helps you to just like move forward and have that creative hunger alive. So definitely creativity is a form of making you feel alive.
Some people say, like, I'm not creative. I don't have a creative bone in my body. What do you say to that sort of?
Some people are, you know, they don't have the vision. And it's very natural. Like, people are not blessed with everything, you know, like, you need to have a vision. Whenever my clients would come and then they would tell me, you know, on this skirt, just give me a different color with these two colors. And then they are seeing things of what they can imagine, and they, and their imaginations are quite limited. I always tell them, because out of experiences, it has happened that I've done exactly how the client said it. And then they're like, oh, this is not how we imagine it to be. And I'm like, that is why you have to, a designer has made a piece, and then you have to buy it as it is, because it has gone through multiple trials and errors in their own mind. And then they've given you the best combination, best looking aesthetics, best work, best color combinations. If you mess with that, and then automatically you're going to fall short of the vision. So definitely some people don't have it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's better that they don't have it, because then it just eats up our jobs.
You're listening to the Hello Color podcast, an audio adventure that brings you a bright escape from a gray world. And today I'm talking to Delhi-based designer Param Sahib Singh about his creative, awe-filled life.
You share a lot of DIYs on your Instagram, but what I love about them is that they're so generous. Like, you really show the processes, you talk about tips. Why is it important for you to be able to share with others?
Okay, that's a great question. My videographers and my editor, that, you know, they're like, okay, we'll just show like 15 steps. And I'm like, no, I have to show how I've made this piece from scratch, and I have to show I'm cutting it, I have to show I'm sewing it, I have to show that I'm doing the process and showing you each step in detail, because that's what is my style, and that's what is going to make me separate in terms of like my quality of content, because I want to be as organic, and I want to let them know that I bought this piece, it looked in a very bad shape, and it goes into so much of that's my, like, my videos are mostly like a long format video, because they definitely give you like a 100-step thing, but you should not have any question left in your mind, okay, that step was left and that step. So I feel like for me, this journey of having, and that's why my videos take longer to shoot, because I feel like one video would normally, I think we would ideally shoot in 5 hours, 8 hours. I tend to take 3 to 4 days, because it's a lot of steps, a lot of layering. And I feel like I want to stick to it, even if in a rat race, the algorithm changes and then the short videos work better in terms of the reach and all that. I want to make it like a storytelling. Each video has to tell you a story of how the piece started and how it completely transformed and how we made it.
Oh, as I say, it's so generous, the sharing, and it's a real pleasure.
And honestly, I've got so many comments on the, like, now I don't read comments that much, but people tell me, you know, why do you share so much? You should not share it. And people have written it, you know, like, it's your trade secret. You should not do it. These are your tips and tricks. And I'm like, okay, I cannot be sitting on those tiny thoughts and be like, if somebody is coming to my page and somebody is subscribing to me, they have to get like a full transparency. And I don't think I'll get limited by it. I think the more I share, the more ideas I'll get, and the more idea, and the more I'll try to get you newer things. Otherwise, I'll be just holding on to those secrets and be like, okay, what is this mystery? Like, what is it? Everyone can do it in the world.
Yeah.
It's not like somebody will take 10 days to crack it, but they'll know it. So I might as well just show you in the video only.
Yeah, well, I love that. And you do have a lot of fashion related pieces, wearables. It's wonderful to see. I feel like there's so much joy when you get ready, when you put on your clothes, the joy is beaming off you. Like, we can feel this energy from you. Do you take any like rituals about getting ready, or do you have any process about getting ready if you're going to an event?
It totally depends on my mood on that day. I'm telling you, I've gone in like black clothes also to a fashion event and not given like any F about it, that, okay, I want to stand out. But there are days where I want to just look like the royalty and be as flamboyant as I can and just show the best of things. So it totally depends on the mood. But otherwise, if I'm attending some really high profile events in terms of like some screenings or gatherings or some unveilings, and if the memo says that you have to dress in a certain way, and mostly there's this great culture in Delhi now that they are doing, and they are making sure that people come and dress up and find the misfits of Delhi and come and bring them all in one place and bring the best of fashion, best of clothes, best of style. I feel those kind of groups are opening up, and those kind of And those are the places where you want to be seen also, because there you're sort of like recognized for your craft, for your style and all that. So I feel for me, it's very mood sensitive.
I mean, where do you get your inspiration from? Because your projects, you're like so prolific. You're a prolific designer. There's always something happening.
It is a eureka moment every time. I'm just like, most of the times I'm sleeping and then I get this idea and then I wake up and then I quickly plan how I'm going to do this, because I don't want to let go of that opportunity, the idea. I think ideas are no one's property. So whoever does it first, it's your property. So I want to be like, okay, be quick about it. Don't be a lazy bum about it. So I want to just like keep executing and just, I think that's a very free space, because I feel like the more I'll be hands-on, the more I'll be creating, the more I'll be evolving, the more ideas I'm going to be making more. So for me, that process is really fun.
I remember hearing that notion of ideas not belonging to anyone in Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic. And it really makes you reassess your priorities. There's no doubt that ideas come to all of us, just like that invention that's going to make you a millionaire. But then we don't actually act on it. And then some months down the line, someone else has done it. And we kick ourselves, that idea was ours. We should have done it, but we didn't. I know I've been there, but honestly, it's okay. We can't do everything. And yet, hearing Parham's passion is such a reminder that some people really do follow through with all the ideas. And that in itself is something to be in awe of. Next up, I don't just get to admire Parham's handiwork, I get to try some of it on.
I did a lot of DIYs and I love doing like headgears.
Yeah.
And one of the pieces, I have it here.
Uh-huh.
And you are here sitting on the couch with me and I want you to try it, because I think they go fabulously with your personality.
Okay. That's
okay. This
sweet.
Is the headgear. This is the
headphones.
Yeah, these were the headphones converted into headgear for like a Burning Man thing.
Oh,
and I would want you to try it if you would be interested into it.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, you have to fix it, yes.
Oh wow.
Yes, and then
I feel like some kind of there's a Star Wars with like the princess. So, like, I feel like I've otherworldly.
Princess Leia.
Yes, I feel otherworldly and like I can command attention of everyone.
I mean, this definitely is going to command a lot of attention. I love it.
It's really, really stunning. I mean, this is art. What you create is,
I think, yes, I was just
art,
finding the right muse for it. And you've got like the perfect personality, perfect face.
Just saying, I mean, we are twinning.
Perfect fringes for sure.
We're twinning with the hair
with
and
the colors, purple
as well.
I'm going to rework a bit of it because I wanted like the flowers to come slightly more on the inside and cover your eyes also.
Oh wow!
But
so
otherwise,
a bit mysterious.
I think this was good attempt for me.
Have you been to Burning Man?
No.
This will get
but
you in.
I've done costumes for clients for Burning Man.
What role does color play in your creativity and the things that you create?
Colors are a language. It's not just colors and adding medium to it. I think it's a language.
Pink. There's like the neon yellows.
Yeah.
And looking around your home, looking around the piece that you create, you always seem to get drawn towards this neon, this bright colors.
Yeah.
Was that always the case?
Getting attracted to colors was always the case as a child. And I feel like I've imbibed, and I'm so proud of the fact that I'm a Punjabi, a Sikh and an Indian, because I think as Indians, we just love colors. We just like, we are so diverse in our color preferences, but still at the end of the day, if you look from a bird eye view, I think India, you should see a lot of colors and just like our representation about it, and we own it. And that becomes a very strong identity in terms of visibility and aesthetics, and just like setting an example apart that, yes, we are so proud of it. And that sort of a liking towards colors was always, I think, welcomed by my parents, by my mom mostly, where she sort of made me feel so natural about it. If I want to wear a certain color as a child, I think she never said no. She never said ki no, you cannot wear certain shade, you cannot wear certain color. When I grew up, I started experimenting with genders. I would pick up clothes from a female's section and all that. Over the years, for me, understanding of clothes have come out, as in clothes have no labels, no gender. For me, clothes are just like a piece of cloth which can be worn by anyone. So that understanding has come much later. But my fascination towards colors has been a very childhood thing.
I get asked it all the time. Like, do you have a favorite color?
I do. Orange.
Oh, wow.
Orange is my favorite color.
This may explain the wall behind us, which you have created.
Surprisingly, so... it's red. Yes, yes.
It's, you've actually handmade, like, mirrored mosaic tiles.
Yes,
stuck them all in your living room.
So I got these hearts, like, laser cut. And then it's acrylic.
Yeah.
And then it's a sticking sheet at the back. And then I wanted to make the entire wall with like a grid of hearts. And there are four more walls. So I'm going to do all shapes in all four walls and then complete the set.
Well, you know, orange is in color therapy, like it represents, and it's the color of creativity. Like it's the color that sums up creativity and encourages creativity. And it's like, if you've got a creative block, then we encourage more orange. Or if you literally are surrounded by orange all the day, every day, it makes sense.
So I want to ask something. Do you like look at people and then without even conversing with them, do you give them a color? Okay, he is a blue, he is a yellow. Or probably after speaking to them or knowing their personality, you would color them.
I actually see more like palettes. Being one of anything always just seems like, again, it's a bit of a binary thing, like you're one color or this and
yeah.
But I really believe in like palettes and people's like their joy palettes. Like, what is their
you
palette
see shades
that brings
them
of the things
and colors in them.
Once I chat to people, once I get an understanding from them, and people love to tell me as well, they'll generally want to know, like, what colors are my colors? Like, this is a very common thing. People are very interested in the meanings of colors.
Yeah.
Like I just explained that orange is a color of creativity, purple is a color of wisdom. You know, there's different colors that really connect with certain things. And one of the reasons I love color really is because it's free. Like, it's literally just existing. And we can tap into its energies every day without having to, like, do anything. It's just visually there. When you're making a project, do you think of the colors in advance or does it come as you go?
I think I know my base colors for sure. I know what is going to be the 70% of the colors that are going to be. Then add-ons, we just move along. Whenever I make clothes, we just move in the story. With clothes, it's a collection thing. So if I want to do a collection on sage greens or let's say like navy blues, so I think I know the collection overall is going to look majorly of that color, and then it will have hints of complementing shades. But of course, neons and pinks, oranges, they somehow find the way inside to it. So I don't know, how do I take them out?
You're listening to the Hello Color podcast, an audio adventure that brings you a bright escape from a gray world. And today I'm talking to Delhi-based designer Param Sahib Singh about his creative or filled life.
So I have a very interesting question. Do you think colors have gender? Like, for me, living in India, I would say if a guy, if he loves colors, I would just take my example, let's say, and if somebody does not even know me and somebody sees a photograph of me and then they see me wearing colors, and then it's automatically targeted as he's queer.
Yeah.
Because he loves colors. So for me to understand, and this is like a constant question I ask, do colors have gender? Like, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think actually there's such a limited choice that if a man went into the shop, the women's wear section has such a range and such color, you will never get the options as a man. It's not even allowed. Like, no one's making it. And even if they were making it, it's not going to make it onto the high street, into the main street.
Sure.
And I think this is one of the things that actually stops men from exploring anything different.
Yeah.
We've seen it as in a queer sense anyway. Like, it's different, it's queer. But let me give you an example of a non-queer situation I was in.
Yeah.
This was, you know, in the UK, there's a lot of football fans. They love their football. It's quite a masculine environment. And if you're ever passing a football ground on a match day, like, it's just streams and streams of men.
Hot.
So I was wearing a rainbow sequin jacket, like, full on. And I went to a train station. The train station was closed because there was an issue and all the football fans had come out. And so I was one girl, a brown girl at that, in amongst a whole sea of men, white British men, your classic football fans, the type that I would normally cross the road. I was like, but I was there with them. And I was standing there and a man next to me said, "I love your jacket." And in the most like genuine way, genuine, like he just absolutely loved my rainbow sequin jacket. And then he started telling me how much he loves colors.
Mm.
And he was saying, and then his friend piped up and then they were joining in. And then one of them said to me, "I'm actually wearing women's trainers."
Oh.
And the reason is that these trainers are purple and I can't get men's purple trainers. So I bought women's trainers.
Sweet.
And his friend didn't know that. But I was like, wow. Like we felt like I would never normally speak to you.
Yeah.
And we've come together.
This was like a breaking ice point, breaking exactly. ice situation.
But how interesting. He couldn't find what he wanted in the menswear section. Yeah, exactly. And it's not given. It's like you've been stopped. Like men of the world have been stopped, prevented from being able to experience, from being able to experiment. I recently took a male friend shopping. He's only ever worn black. He's never worn any colours in his whole life. And he was like, "I want to know if I can wear colour." And actually, the only place we found colour in menswear was at vintage shops, like secondhand. So we went to some vintage shops in East London and we actually kitted him out. He wore purple for the first time in his life. He's never worn purple before. He wore some other colours. And actually, he felt like he bought the pieces. He felt he could do it.
Yeah.
But there was just never the guidance. There was never the role models. There was never anyone doing it. And we've got ourselves into, like, we'll call it humanity because this is cross-cultural.
Yeah.
We've got into a situation. It doesn't need to be like that. And I think a lot of like straight men should be wearing more color and I wish they had the access.
But how as a woman do you think, as a woman who is wearing and experimenting with so much colors, do you also feel for women also color is sexist or colors have gender? Or are you being typecast as a queer person because you're being taken as a queer girl because you're, you're like... experimenting too much?
I think most people they assume I'm queer anyway. I think the othering of people, the othering of people is something that is so inherently in culture and in society that if you're just different in any shape or form, and color is just a foreign. It's like a foreign source. It's like if you're color, automatically you're different. But interestingly, I have a project, it's a personal project I have. It's called Collecting Compliments.
Mm.
So whenever someone pays me a compliment, I write it down.
Oh,
so if you look in the notes on my phone, it's literally like comments. And a lot of people worry for me because they actually say to me, "Oh, well, don't you get lots of like you know, do people like give you like negative energy?" But I found in the case that I just told you about this football fan, that color is such a connector. It opens up.
Yeah.
It can be this medium that allows people to just like be themselves. And the amount of people that say to me, "I want to wear color. I wish I could wear color." Like, "I want to be like, or I want to have hair like you." This is the most common
one.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I say to them, "Well, you could," but it's the this confidence has been driven out of them. I mean, how do you how do you drive your confidence? Because you come across as, and you are confident. I've met you now.
I think it's the easiness. It's the comfort of just being. Owning up every single cell of yourself and not just even regretting about any point, anything that is on you. So I think confidence is a very natural and it's a very natural state of mind where you are 100% comfortable in looking the way you are and how you're carrying yourself, and your body responds, you know, like people pick up, your energies pick up. And if your body is even 1% uncomfortable, people do pick up because the energies do get caught up. And it just shows that you are not confident in whatever you are wearing, whatever you are trying to portray. It's that, yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know we have to wrap quite soon.
Because... really glad that the DMs happened and then we just could do this in this timeline.
Oh, honestly, it's a real honor to be in your presence and to be here because... you know, I Instagram, social media, it has many different sides to it. You know, it gives.
I mean, this is a positive side that we just met through Instagram.
This is like the side that what an amazing thing that has happened.
Something
in
good
our timeline.
Comes out of it.
What an incredible thing! And I think, you know, like if I have a bad day, actually don't have many bad days, to be fair, because I have a way of making my life very positive. But, you know, if I see one of your posts, it's like this like reset, it's this re-energy, this boost, this incredible thing amazing. That I think you give everyone that sees your posts. Like, it's like so magical. I think what you're doing, what you're creating, what you're putting out in the world is just like so, like, we are all grateful.
I think that's so thoughtful, and I feel like presence. I continue doing this, and I feel I'm able to like get more crazier with the DIYs, and I want to really expand it. I'm very excited to launch the bridal line again, getting back to clothes. And yes, I think there's so much that 25 gave me, and I'm really looking forward for 26. And I think yes, more sitting in chats like this with you.
Oh, yes. Fantastic! Listen, if you're ever coming to London,
I will.
You're hitting me up.
Yes, actually, let's fill up the streets of London with like the tubes and all that.
You know,
with crazies. The best to you, and please continue doing whatever you are, and just stay alive and stay positive all the time.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes. What an extraordinary conversation. And what an extraordinary person. I never imagined that when I started this podcast, I would get to interview people I admire so much in person. Yes, not on Zoom, but in person. We recorded the interview the day after I landed in Delhi, and it was the most invigorating way to start my trip to India, where I actually went on a textile voyage through 8 different Himalayan towns and also did a short visit to Punjab, where I ticked off something that had been on my bucket list forever, a visit to the Golden Temple in Amritsar. That was one of the most awesome experiences of my life. So spiritual, so beautiful, so meaningful, so powerful. But, you know, it doesn't make it any more important than those daily moments of awe that I experience every day. Right now, there are huge red poppies that have emerged through the paving slabs on my streets. They literally just popped up, and there's always bright pops of red that is making my ordinary street look really magical. And I recently witnessed a spider actually building its web, but you can only see it in some lights and not others. So it's like wherever I'm standing, I can see it. These little colourful moments in life are what makes life worth living. At least that's what I think. But I also want to hear other people's views on the topic. And that's why in season 4, I'm going to continue to feature guests who have their own experiences and ideas of awe. So if you want to hear them too and you enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe so that you don't miss the next one, which is dropping next month. And I just want to say a huge, huge thank you to Param Sahib Singh for allowing me into his home like a complete stranger, making me feel so comfortable. You know, he actually fed me as well. We had a really nice time together. And I guess what you heard was just a little part of our actual conversation, because we had some lovely time that we chatted, like when we weren't recording as well. And it was really special. You can follow Param at Param Banana on Instagram, but I'm also going to drop that in the show notes along with my Instagram at MomTezBH. As I mentioned, when you go to mine, you'll be able to see some clips of this episode and the other episodes I'm doing too, so that you can actually see my guests and the incredible, awe-inspiring homes and backdrops that they have. I also want to let you know that I've just finished writing a new book. When I say finished, it's literally going to print like in the next few days. It's called Colour Therapy. Really nice and easy to remember. Colour Therapy. It's actually a journal, and you can actually pre-order it now. It's not out until December, the 10th of December, 2026. I'm actually going to leave the pre-order link in the show notes as well, because I'm so excited about it. I will tell you more about it in the coming months, but it's just really like fun timing, I guess, that I've got the book and the podcast at the same time. So lots of ways that I can keep sharing the joy of colour, which is what I'm all about. So thank you again for listening. I really appreciate your time. And if you know any other color lovers you think will appreciate this, then do share it with them too. Have a colorful month, and we'll catch up soon. Your colors, girl. Shade of life, a lot of you now. Tell me what you see in your eyes, changing blue. Take flight.